أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين ورحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من يومنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of Allah, the most beneficent and most merciful. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the tawfiq that Allah has granted us all.
Recording, press 1. To return to the conference, press star.
I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us on behalf of the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showered upon His Prophet Rasulullah by having Hazrat Fatima born in his house. As the coming week is a week in which we celebrate the birth anniversary of Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi alayha, I would like to congratulate all the mu'minini for this auspicious occasion, and also I would like to extend my greetings to the Imam of our age, the Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. My dear brothers and sisters, as I said before also, it's a great honor to be worthy of talking about the Imam of our time, and to contemplate and prepare ourselves so that we can be amongst those who would be the topic of discussion, as you are aware, is the Imam of our time, and we have began our discussion by saying how, first of all, that the Prophet of Allah had foretold Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha on his deathbed that the progeny of Hassan and Hussein would be the Mahdi who is going to come. And it is an absolutely accepted fact of the creed, not only our creed but of Islam, which tells us that there is going to be a Mahdi who is bound to come, regardless of the creed of Muslims that they are following. All of them unanimously agree that the Mahdi is going to come. Now, I was wondering, most of you might be even aware of an event that was being predicted by, again, some preacher somewhere in US who was saying that the doomsday was 21st, meaning today. If you recall the discussion, even in other Abrahamic faiths, we find that there is intense mustering of support to motivate believers towards preparing themselves for the end times. I have also mentioned how there are certain series of books that have become very popular here by the name called Left Behind, which talks about that, and the concept or the belief of rapture in Christianity also mentions that the end times would be such that suddenly people would be disappearing from earth, and then they would come with Prophet Jesus. This is the belief of the Christian faith. And why would he come? And they would tell you that he would come to establish peace and justice upon earth while it would be filled with anarchy and chaos. And then there are so many other events that are predicted, just like we have. The point I'm trying to make, if this would have been unique to only those who are the followers of Ahlul Bayt, those who are Shia, then it would have been very easy for the followers of other creeds to claim that it is a Shia phenomena. No, it's not a Shia phenomena. No, it is not even a Muslim phenomena to be waiting for, awaiting for a savior to come who would fill the earth with justice and peace. And it is all the Abrahamic faiths are waiting for a savior to come who is going to fill this earth with justice and peace. And the point that really boggles my mind is that the aspirations of all these faiths are same in terms of what they want to accomplish at the end of times. They want to accomplish justice. So as long as justice prevails, it not only promotes what Islam is trying to propagate and promote, but it also promotes what the other Abrahamic faiths are trying to promote, which is justice. So if we find that there is more justice being done upon earth, then we would know that we are moving in the right direction. But if we find that continuously and consistently in the garb of justice there are double standards that are being played, there are double standards in which we measure one set of people in one way and the other set of people in another way, by merely changing terminology and playing with words, then we know that justice is not coming. It is only a sugar coating which is given to the oppression and injustice that is being carried on in this world. So the aspirations of all those who are passionate about religion, who are passionate about this world and of the hereafter, they are aspiring to achieve justice. Now the point that is important for us to know, my dear brothers and sisters, is that as you are all aware that this is a defining moment in history of mankind. I think history was not moving so fast as it is moving right now as we see. And why is it happening? It is definitely there are events that are being unfolded the way in Middle East we find how things are being unfolded. All these things are showing us that that promised justice that is bound to come is getting closer and closer. Now we as those who are the followers of the Imam of our time, what is our duty? Are we supposed to sit back and relax and wait for the Imam to come? Or is there a duty upon us which is binding so that we adhere to that duty and follow that as our own wazifa, as they call it, or our own duty, which we are duty bound regardless of the Imam comes or not? And what would that duty be for those who say that, oh Imam, we want to be your Ansar, we want to be your helpers, we want to be your companions. How does a companion look into it? Let us look at some of the verses of Dua Iftitah. Last time also I have shared some with you, some of the verses of Dua Iftitah. This is a dua that we recite in the holy month of Ramadan, but it is recommended that we recite more often. And in that, the purpose of the Imam, the coming back of the Imam, has been explicitly mentioned and clearly discussed. Here in this piece, the dua says, Allahumma ja'alhu ad-da'iya ila kitabik wal qa'ima bidinik استخلفه في الأرض كما استخلفت الذين من قبله. Oh Allah, send him, send this Imam, send him to summon the people to your book, to establish your religion and make him succeed in the earth as you caused those who were before him to be successors. My dear brothers and sisters, when the Imam is going to arrive, we find that the Imam is going to summon people to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the Imam going to do? The Imam is going to summon people. The Imam is going to invite and bring people towards the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to be the Ansar of the Imam, are we supposed to wait for the Imam to come and then we will heed the call of the Imam as the Imam is going to call others? He should call us also and then we are going to take up the Book of Allah? Or the Book of Allah should already be established in our lives. It should be part of who we are. It should be part of our being. If that's not the spirit, then if we say merely that we are Ansar of the Imam, we are aspiring to be the Ansar of the Imam, we are aspiring to be the helpers of the Imam, we are deceiving ourselves, my dear brothers and sisters. Because if truly we are the Ansar of the Imam, it would become incumbent upon us to invite ourselves to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what's the next thing the Imam going to do? The Imam is going to establish your religion. The dua says to Allah, O Allah, send him to summon the people to your book, to establish your religion and make him succeed in the earth as you caused those who were before him to be successful. So the next goal of Imam is, after summoning people to the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we are the followers of the Imam, my dear brothers and sisters, the question that I have for you is that, are these prerequisites for us that we not only are aware of the Book of Allah, that we have the ma'rifah of the Book of Allah, and also that the religion of Allah has been established in our lives, or we are going to wait for the Imam to come, and when the Imam is going to summon people towards the Book of Allah and the Imam is going to establish the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when we are going to accept and adhere and walk on the path and the seerah and the nahj of the Imam of our age. Obviously, this is a very logical question, and the answer is very obvious, and the answer is that if we are truly aspiring, my dear brothers and sisters, to become the Ansar, the companions of the Imam, the helpers of the Imam, then the Book of Allah and his religion should be established in our lives. It should be part of our lives. It should be our mahiyah. It should be who we are. When somebody looks at us, they should know that these are the people who have made Quran their way of life, who have made the seerah of Ma'sumeen their way of life. If that's not the case, then we are not truly aspiring to be the companions of the Imam. Now, the dua continues and moves forward by saying, مَكِّنْ لَهُ دِينَهُ الَّذِي اِرْتَضَيْتَهُ لَهُ أَبْدِلْهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ خَوْفِهِ عَمَنًا يَعْبُدُكَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِكَ شَيْئًا. O Allah, with the coming of this Imam, what do we want? And establish for him his faith which you have approved for him, the faith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has approved for. That faith needs to be established. Not the faith and the belief that we have by the means of our own perception. Not by our own perception. The faith that needs to be established is the faith that has been signed off, that is the faith that has been approved by Allah Himself. And grant him, O Allah, grant him safety after fear. Now, in this dua we find that we are asking Allah and we are anticipating fear to come But while the fear comes, we are asking Allah to grant us and him safety after the challenges that he is bound to face as a result of summoning people to the Book of Allah and as a result of establishing the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the dua says that he may worship you without ascribing any partner to you. What is the purpose of all this, my dear brothers and sisters? At the end of the day, we want to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want to establish Tawheed and we want to ground Tawheed to such a level that after which we are not going to ascribe any partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean? When the Imam comes, when the Imam summons the people towards the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Imam establishes the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Imam establishes the faith that has been approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the Imam is doing all this, he is going through and the nation is going through a lot of hardships and fear, after which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to grant us safety, and all this is happening only and only for Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters, for the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been established, then we have truly served the purpose of our creation. We have truly served the purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created. There is another riwayah, if I get a chance, I would like to share it with you in my next speech, inshallah. But even there, it talks about how the Imam of our time is related to the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers and sisters, the Imam is going to come and the world is anticipating a savior. Today was a day, 21st May 2011, there were claims in the media extensively that somebody has predicted that there's going to be a doomsday and there's going to be a rapture, and nothing of that sort has happened. So many false prophets would come and go. But our duty is not to look up to them. Our duty is not to look outside of us on the first step. But our duty is to look inside our own selves first. Our duty is to reform and purify ourselves first. Our duty is to establish the Book of Allah and the religion of Allah in our lives first. And once we do that, then our duty is extended towards our family and then to our neighbors, to our friends and to our relatives. But all of this in the spirit of humility, with humbleness, with smile, with love, with compassion, not with hatred, not with ascribing or accusing people of things that you do not know of, not by being self-righteous, not by claiming that you have seen the reality and everybody is going to go to hell and you are the one who is going to be saved. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy and His compassion and His love is the only means by which we are going to by which we continue to live our lives and with which we are going to get our akhirah. It is not based upon our actions only. Our actions are the necessary ingredient. But since we do not possess that sincerity and that ikhlas because of the sins that we have committed and how things are hazy for us, and therefore we need a guide who can guide us. We need someone who can intercede on behalf of us. We need somebody whose proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more greater. We need someone who has been appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lift us up towards guidance, who is there to guide us. And that is the Imam of our time. And that promise is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters. It is not only incumbent upon the Imam to come and help us, but it is Allah's duty, as he says, Hujjah, Allah's Hujjah, because on the Day of Judgment, people would say, "Oh Allah, I was not guided. If your messenger was here, if there was a guide, and if I was not guided, how do you expect me to come clean when I am returning from this temporal world?" So it becomes necessary for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He is going to make us accountable, to keep a guide. The Book of Allah is guide, the Prophet of Allah is a guide, and the Imam of our time is a guide, who is guiding us and who is helping us. It is us who are not able to see the faiz or the blessings and that He showers upon us by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we truly want to bring the Imam in our life, if we truly want to prepare for the coming of the Mahdi, for the coming of the Imam of our time, then the bottom line, my dear brothers and sisters, is to summon ourselves towards the Book of Allah, as the Dua Iftitah is mentioning, and to establish the religion of Allah in our own lives. If we have done that, then comes the responsibility of extending it, as I have said before also. If this is not the spirit, my dear brothers and sisters, then we are deceiving, as we have deceived ourselves all our lives. We are deceiving on this part of belief also that we carry, that we are awaiting anxiously and passionately for the coming of the Imam of our time. Now, again, one more point that I do want to emphasize is the Imam is going to come and establish peace and justice. If we ourselves are unjust, my dear brothers and sisters, tell me, how are we going to be on the side of those who are just? If we commit injustices day in and day out, if we do not differentiate between our self-interest and justice, if we do not differentiate between what is right and what is our interest, then we would be carrying the same twisted thinking when the Imam is going to come, and we would ascribe him to be the enemy of Allah, mazallah. So therefore, if we are truly walking on the path of justice, then and only then, when the Imam comes, we are going to be his followers, we are going to be his helpers. But if in our daily lives we are unjust, you know, my dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we fail to recognize, although we can see apparent injustices that are being done outside of ourselves, but we fail to recognize how unjust we are to our own self. Allah has granted us this great ni'mah of life. Allah has granted us so many resources so that we can reach our full potential. And what do? We use this whole potential merely to graze in greener pastures like cattle, not knowing the meaning of our existence. My dear brothers and sisters, the injustice that we incur upon first is our own selves. We are not just to our own selves. We do not know our own self-worth. When we look at the self-worth here, then we calculate how much money we have in our 401k plans, how much bank account we have, how much my house has appraised, so that I know my self-worth. This is not my self-worth, my dear brothers and sisters. This is not associated with myself. I am only using it, and it is only an agreement that as long as life sustains, I'm going to use it. My self-worth is in my dignity, in my honor, And that dignity and honor demands that we do not worship anyone except our own Creator, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we move our face from our Creator, then we become worshippers of the wealth, of power, of money, of all kinds of isms that we see around us. We will become slaves of those isms. So our dignity demands that we truly submit ourselves only and only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He truly gives us that tawfiq, that we can truly become those whom the Imam himself would take pride upon. I wanted to also share one or two verses of Ziyarat-e-Dua-e-Nudba, in which we are calling our Imam and saying, where are those glittering stars? We are talking about Ahlul Bayt in this portion. Where are the are those symbols of religion, the foundations and principles of knowledge? Where is Baqiyatullah, without whom the earth cannot exist from amongst the progeny of the guide? So we anxiously, in lamentation, call Baqiyatullah, call Imam of our time. And what is the Imam of our time and the Ahlul Bayt? They are the foundations and principles of knowledge. If our religion is not based upon the foundations and principles of knowledge, and if it is based upon arrogance, it is based upon our own perception of things, then we are not truly waiting for the Baqiyatullah, my dear brothers and sisters. If we are waiting for the Baqiyatullah, the spirit with which we need to seek out knowledge so that we could enhance the ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we possess, and our souls reform themselves to know more about Allah, then we would be the true awaiters of the Imam, those who are awaiting for the Imam to come. But if this is not our principle, the criteria is not knowledge, the criteria is not ilm, but the criteria is my own qiyas, my own conjectures, and I think what I think and what I feel is deen and is religion, then we are deceiving ourselves and we are not truly waiting with the spirit in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Prophet and Ahlul Bayt has asked us to wait for the Imam. I hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly grants us this tawfiq, my dear brothers and sisters. And like I said, let me finish this by giving you one example. In New Jersey, the weather has turned green, and alhamdulillah, I see beautiful flowers and trees and greenery all around us. And since this was the first year for us and my family here, what I found was we were too excited to get into the greenery, but then suddenly people started warning us, no, don't go into that grass. Why? Because that grass has not been sanitized, or there is no pesticides sprayed upon. I said, for what? This is a green grass, I could go and see, I can enjoy the nature. They said, no, you do not understand, New Jersey has tick problem. There are very small ticks that if you walk into this grass, and if this grass is not chemically treated, these ticks are so small that you can barely see them. But once they bite you and they stay there for a little while, then they are going to completely ruin your immune system. That was amazing, my dear brothers and sisters. Everything that is green and lush green and everything that looks lush green is not necessarily means that there are no dangers inside it. The point I'm trying to make here, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we need to ensure that although we see all this greenery around us of life, if we find that there is a small thing, a small sin, and that's going to come and stick to us, and we take this sin to be trivial, my dear brothers and sisters, then that could cost us our akhirah. I wanted to share this thought with you, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would guide us to truly live up to the expectations of the Imam of our age. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us so that we have the marifah of the Imam of our age, and as a result of that we have the marifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Muted. Unmuted.
Thank you very much, Imana. At this time, we'd like to open the floor up. I know Imana has a busy schedule, but if we have a couple minutes, if anyone has any questions for Imana regarding today's discussion, or any general questions that Imana may be able to answer, please unmute yourself by pressing *6, and you can ask Imana your question. Also, you can email us your questions at selfbuilding@muslimcongress.org. And again, if you have any questions throughout the week, please don't hesitate to email us, and inshallah, Maulana can answer the question in the next session as well.
All callers are unmuted.